I'm Kate Remington with Stanford Symphony Orchestra music director Michael Stern, and I'm really looking forward to talking with you about this very, very special performance that the orchestra is presenting on May 8th. It's called Times Changed, and it's going to be a live streamed concert. And Michael, you must be just so thrilled to be able to finally have a live performance.
Well, it is. It's been a while.
Yeah.
We have been getting together. We have done recordings together. We have put out streaming concerts that were not live. But this is why we are musicians, right? To perform and bring music directly. And if we have to go through the added level of using digital because we can't get people into the hall yet, so be it. It's still a live performance.
There's just nothing that matches a live performance. And I can imagine for performers especially, it must just be really fantastic to look forward to knowing that people are going to be watching as you're performing.
That's true. And it's actually a little nerve-wracking because, you know, we are all used to being on stage and having an audience, feeling an audience right there. And you feed off that. You feed off their energy. You feed off their listening. You try to connect in that way. When you're doing it for cameras, it's different, but you can't lose sight of the fact, just as you said, that there are people listening to you right now. So, and then, of course, there's just, even though it doesn't feel like it, like any other concert, if you screw up, they're going to listen to it in real time. So there's no chance to go back and fix it. So you got to be on your game.
You've chosen a couple of really, really wonderful pieces to wrap up this season. Mozart's Violin Concerto No. 5 with soloist Elena Uriosti, and she is just phenomenal. And then the other work on the program is the Haydn Symphony No. 64, which has a very interesting preface. The times are changed, and in them changed are we. So it was it's an interesting pairing.
Well, to start with Elena coming to play the Mozart, she is an old friend, a cherished colleague, a wonderful violinist. And she had originally been scheduled for this year to play with us. So this is our nod to, or our refusal to let everything about the season be taken away from us by COVID. You know, we were going to have all these wonderful soloists. We had all of our concerts canceled, but we are going to keep at least one of them, and we are going to get her back. She was supposed to play the Korngold Concerto. I hope to get her back to play the Korngold Concerto at some point because it's a wonderful piece and she plays it magnificently. But that piece is too many people to fit safely on stage with social distancing. So she's a wonderful Mozart player. And there my priority was more keeping her and her connection to us rather than the repertoire for that concert. In truth, Kate, the repertoire is actually incidental. The sheer act of making music in this season with her is what was important for this concert. And it's going to be a wonderful performance, I know. And I'm delighted that we were able to pull off this project.
Oh, I am too. One of the things that I was wondering about, because normally when I've been in the audience at the Stanford Symphony, the players are quite close together. I mean, obviously the violinists have enough room to bow and so do the cellists, and there's a little distance between the winds. But with the new setup, I'm wondering what sort of challenges the musicians had with being further away from each other, like with eye contact and stuff.
It's everything. It's eye contact. It's the security of knowing that you have somebody next to you playing. I mean, that is psychologically and also from an acoustic point of view, a very different thing than feeling 6 feet of space around everybody's chair. You're sort of playing into a void a little bit, right? And yet you're still trying to create a blended sound and to come together. Music is made on the breath. And the breath is the one thing that we were told we had to mask up against. Mm-hmm. Right? So that is incredibly challenging. But like in a lot of other places, our guys are really good. And and they figured it out. So yeah, it will be it will be much easier to come back to our normal seating, of course, because then you can feel that contact, which is so essential to phrasing together and blending sound. But again, you do what you got to do.
What sort of challenges did that raise for you as the conductor with the orchestra far more spread out?
Your ear adjusts. Mm. The very first time we did it, earlier in the year, that was really weird. Hmm. It really felt different. And after a while, you start to get adjusted, you know? I think, in a funny way, again, silver linings, right? We always have to find silver linings. Because it's harder to make that blend happen and to make real together playing happen and to make a unanimous phrasing happen, you have to listen a lot harder and you have to make the effort. And then you start to do that as a normal occurrence. When we do come back together, it's going to be incredibly better immediately just because we're coming back to our positions. But all of the effort that we put in over these months, you know, the extra effort will still be there. Yeah. So I think we're going to benefit from this in some weird way.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, because you've really had to concentrate and read body language far more than you would have maybe normally during a full house with the full orchestra and everybody where they're supposed to be. So
that's right. That's right.
And you did mention that the programming was a bit incidental, but you could have chosen a lot of Haydn symphonies. And so I'm wondering why you chose this one.
Well, I didn't say the program was incidental. I said the change in the program was incidental because it was the fact that we should just be playing. Mm-hmm. We do have a sense of humor at the Stanford Symphony. So there has to be some kind of little subtext. Look, COVID changed the world, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, never has there been in our lifetimes this kind of global disruption where we all had to take stock and come to a reckoning on so many things. And if that isn't the very definition of times changing, I don't know what is. So here is this piece, which is exactly that in the title. And, you know, if you take the full quote, the times change, we change with them. How? The time passing makes mankind worse. So we need to make it better. Mm-hmm. So we're sort of tongue-in-cheek using Haydn to stir the pot a little bit.
I've always wondered, with that quote, if maybe he was finding life moving a little bit quickly too, with all that was going on with political upheavals and technology in the Age of Enlightenment. I mean, maybe it was as challenging for him to adapt to all of these new things as it's been for us in our time.
Well, certainly Haydn, of all of his many credits and accomplishments, was extraordinary. I mean, he was a genius, of course, but he was extraordinary at reinventing himself throughout his career. Mm-hmm. The variety that you can chart mostly through his string quartets and through his symphonies is pretty amazing. And this piece came, he had evolved from his earlier style. He was not yet there when in the style that would become, well known for the later symphonies, the ones that he wrote in London and so forth, where again, he reinvented himself with big orchestras and different sounds and effects and so forth. Here, and a much larger complement of winds, here he's still in that kind of early classical mold, but much more into the century than he was earlier. I mean, obviously in terms of years, but in terms of storm and stress.
Right, yeah.
And you hear that kind of increasingly romantic, with a capital R, feeling, mm-hmm, as his career goes on, and he's constantly reinventing himself. I mean, I've always said Haydn is a miracle of invention, and you hear that in this piece.
Yeah, it's fascinating to listen to, and again, you know, I think for me, one of the silver linings of the season that you've put together with the Stanford Symphony is we've been able to hear pieces that wouldn't necessarily have made the cut for a full-length orchestral program. And so here again is this little gem, this kind of overlooked gem of a symphony by Haydn. So, you know, I would love to know, I know that obviously this is not the season you planned a couple of years ago. And it's just remarkable how you and the orchestra have adapted. And I would just love to know what some of the other bright spots of the season have been.
Well, first, let me correct you, because we did not plan this season originally a couple of years ago, because I wasn't around a couple
of
years ago. But that really, of all the things to sort of put a pin on it, that really is the one fact that I keep coming back to, which is it's been almost a year since, no, it's been a full year since we stopped playing, and I was not yet in my first season.
Right.
I was just the designate. So I have yet actually to give a full concert for a live audience as the music director of the orchestra. And in a way that's frustrating, but in another way, again, silver linings, it has let us be very mindful about thinking about the future, about making plans for the future. And I think that is a bright spot from the season. Just the ability to take the time to realize how connected we are and to position ourselves to become even more connected as we look to plan next season and the seasons ahead, and to make a real impact in the community with music and with engagement on an educational level and in every way, just to make the idea of music happening in this community something different than it ever was before. And to have the time to think about that, to talk about that, to plan for that, and to realize how much there is to look forward to, that was something very special. And we may not have taken that time if we hadn't had the time.
Right.
So again, we don't let any opportunity slip.
You know, all of us had a really steep learning curve working from home or adapting to the kind of technology that made it possible to work from home and all the other social things too. And so I'm wondering what you and the orchestra have learned over this last season that maybe you'll be able to carry forward with additional content or engagement with audiences in new ways and that kind of thing.
All of it. I think that like a lot of places, because we've been relying so much on digital media to stay connected to our audience and to bring music to our audience, everything that we learned in that regard is not going to go away. It's not going to ever replace live performances, but we will always have it. And I'm speaking now everywhere. The idea that music in a kind of holistic way is going to blend live performance and contact with our audiences in digital ways, using content from one to inform the other, that's here to stay.
Yeah.
I also think in the challenge of being separated, you realize how important it is to work to try to find ways to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not nothing. That is a big deal. So yeah, I think we are all going to remember this year forever and remember what it felt like, and to remember what it felt like not to be able to do that which you had planned for and is the most important thing for you to do. So I think we are going to come out of this in a way stronger than ever.
I think so too. And it's astonishing that you and the orchestra have managed to have a season. And it's been wonderful. And you've shown a spotlight on pieces that we wouldn't have had a chance to hear otherwise. And Michael, it's been so wonderful to talk with you through the season and find out, you know, what the orchestra is up to. So I can't wait till next season. It's going to be great. So
me too.
I bet.
We're down soon and we're going to be there. And just, it's going to be a whole new chapter for the Stanford Symphony.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for your time and congratulations again on wrapping up the season in such a successful and exciting way.
Thank you, Kate.